Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Artificial Talk. I'm your host, Tristan, and today I have...
Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got some really fun topics today. In particular, we have some cool releases. So NVIDIA just released their newest RTX cards, the 3000 series, which at some point they're going to run out of numbers, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, but, no, they won't. You know, we got infinite numbers, right?
I mean...
Then we're going to have the RTX 2580s coming out in, like, 10 years from now.
I mean, Patrick, have you seen how well that's worked for Intel when they forgot that numbers go on forever? Have you seen the Intel 10 series, how well that was working out? But either way, so NVIDIA has just officially announced the RTX 3070, the 3080, and the 3090. And these cards are actually supposed to be so powerful that the 3070 is actually more powerful than a 2080 Ti, which is kind of crazy because that graphics card used to cost, what was it, $1,500 or so?
Yeah, that's probably about right. It was really expensive. All of the TIs are when they first come out, so.
Yeah, and now the 3070, which starts at $499, as the starting price that NVIDIA has, is going to be better than those TI cards.
Yeah, it's, like, insane. Especially because the 70 is supposed to be, like, the lowest, right?
Right.
And for that to outpower the last generation's TI, that's... Because,
that's
like...
That's insane.
Normally, you get a TI and you're set, like... Like, you can use that thing for, like, literally a decade and it'll hold up fine. You know, like, they're super strong and just, it's just gone now, dude.
What's really crazy to me is that anybody who bought a, you know, one of the TI cards or even a 2080 or 2070, all of a sudden, like, the value of their card is basically dropped to, like, zero. Which is,
not zero, but... You're right. It is dropping increasingly fast.
Yeah. And in particular, if you had just bought one like last month, that means all of a sudden your brand new graphics card that was the top of the line is all of a sudden maybe, I guess, according to NVIDIA's numbers anyways, they're not tested yet to be very clear, but according to NVIDIA's numbers, it basically became like a mid-tier card. You have 50% more performance with these new RTX cards, which is crazy for a generational jump.
Mm-hmm.
What is kind of interesting to me is, so, you know, we were talking earlier and you said that there was a person who was on Facebook who was posting about the whole thing that happened.
Oh yeah, no, someone, I'm a part of like a Discord and there's like a PC building thing where people will like be like, oh, look at my new build or whatever. And just last night out of the blue, someone posted a Facebook Marketplace link to someone who was basically panic selling their, I think it was a 2080.
Mm.
And they were selling it for 200. Like,
that's like,
and like the 2080 is not that bad. Like, I'm running a 1070 in mine and I can still run everything at like high/ultra, right? Like, I can still run it pretty well. It's like a mid-tier card now maybe, and it's like, they're just, I'm like, holy smokes, for 200 I'd upgrade. But,
oh yeah, like I have a 1060 in my desktop, and for me anyways, it's worked for well. I'm not, to be clear, I'm not running, you know, AAA games at super ultra anymore, like the most recent AAA games, but you know, I think medium and high for the most part are still working for me, so I've been totally fine.
Yeah,
but you know, it actually might be if you've been holding on to a 10 series card, it's almost like, it's almost worth it now to just jump straight into the new RTX cards because that performance increase is so insane.
Yeah, that is true. Alternatively, like, we can wait for more panic sellers, right?
True.
Because that actually might be more worth it, in my opinion. I mean, the new cards are like actually amazing, but if you're on a budget, like, you can't go wrong getting a panic selling, like, or panic buying, I guess.
I mean, if I could find a 280 for, you know, $200, I would buy it. It's still a huge increase over what I currently have, and I think for most people, I don't think a two. I think most people probably aren't gaming at 8K like the new RTX cards seem to be marketing towards.
Right. But I mean, that's not to downplay how amazing these cards are. No. Though. They're actually incredible. Wait.
Yeah. And NVIDIA in particular has shown that they will support their cards for pretty much as long as possible. Like, driver stuff has been NVIDIA's biggest strength in all of this. It is interesting, though, because AMD on the CPU side has been catching up. They are actually, I would even say they've surpassed Intel in a lot of aspects on the CPU side. But we really haven't seen anything from their GPU division that can really match up to what NVIDIA's been doing.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It could just be that they're putting more of their, like, they're putting more of their eggs into the CPU basket. Because, like, they have a better shot of overtaking the market right now. Especially with Intel, like, just continuously blundering. They have a decent chance of overtaking Intel as the quote-unquote go-to CPU brand.
Yeah, and especially if you game or you're doing a lot of multi-core intensive processes, Intel is just being, as you said, basically just getting slammed every time. The CEO of AMD, though, has said that she wants to expand a lot more into GPU stuff. Like, she's really pushing. But NVIDIA just seems like they're ready to just fight and hold their ground sort of thing and even push forward a little. Like, these cards are amazing. It's basically what it comes down to. And I think for, you know, a lot of the new AAA games that are coming out that do look really gorgeous, I think these cards are going to be amazing. But, you know, and they're not quite out yet. Review stuff is probably going to come out probably in the middle of September, if I had to guess, based on the launch date.
Mm-hmm.
So when that comes around, we'll definitely, you know, take a look at some reviews and all that sort of thing and maybe talk about RTX a little bit more. But in the meantime, at least from what NVIDIA has shown us, they look like awesome cards. So, but anyways, more new stuff. So, we've kind of talked about folding phones before on this podcast. We definitely discussed it, the Surface Fold, Surface Duo, the Samsung Z Fold. That name is awful, by the way.
Yeah, it's...
The Z Flip, and then there's also, I'm also going to throw the LG Velvet in, because I think it is an interesting take on a old concept, I think is the best way to put it. So, Patrick, I'm curious, how far have you delved into, like, folding phones? Like, how much do you know about folding phones?
Not that much, honestly.
So... But you know, all the phones I just said, you know those phones, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I've always kept an eye on them just because I'm thinking, like, if I were to get a phone, a folding phone would be pretty great just because if we can get the bulk factor down, I think it would be my go-to sort of phone because, well, I use Android mostly, but, like, normally when I want to play a game on my phone, I want to have a bigger screen just because it's a little bit more, like, it's easier to see stuff, and so having a folding phone would give me that duality, so I don't have to buy an Android tablet that doesn't really exist anymore. You know,
Android tablets, yes.
So
I'm curious, though, out of all the concepts, though, you know, all the different folding phones that I kind of put out there, which one do you think, if you had to buy one, which one do you think you would buy?
It would probably be the Samsung Fold, like Samsung. The original one, like the way that one folded. That would probably be the one that I'd go to just because of my use case. The Duo looks pretty interesting, though.
Right.
But it's like isn't the screen like divided where it folds? It's not like one continuous screen.
Right.
Whereas I think the Samsung Fold is one continuous screen.
Right. Like, Samsung's approach to it has been, let's make it one display that bends, whereas Microsoft's approach is a lot more, let's have essentially two displays on one phone.
Yeah.
So... I was talking to somebody else about this, and I think the majority of people are probably going to go for the Samsung Folds. I think, and actually, out of all the devices right now, I think it is the most refined device that currently exists in the folding phone space.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I had to choose, though, I would go for the Surface Duo, though.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. I mean, it is also a very good phone.
Yeah.
And I mean, it would also last longer, I would assume.
Because it doesn't have a folding screen.
Yeah, and it's like there's more mechanical parts probably, or around the same maybe. But the screen doesn't bend, which makes like one less like super big point of failure just vanish.
Right.
So like if you drop your phone, it's there's maybe one of the screens will crack, but it's not like you're going to ruin the folding mechanism that
Oh,
way.
that's. I didn't even
You
think
know?
about that. Yeah. If you dropped it, only one screen potentially could just crack and the other one might be fine.
Yeah, and like considering that it's kind of like on a weird hinge thing, like the hinge thing might break, but you can just get that repaired pretty easily. The Samsung folding screen is like once that thing is gone,
It's like the whole
it's
phone.
over. It's
Yeah.
over, dude.
Which, when the first Samsung Fold came out, I remember Samsung had a whole program dedicated to giving you one free screen repair if anything happened to your screen. Like,
Yeah.
which, really, honestly speaking, I think Samsung's approach of folding inwards, because at some point there were phones that had their screens on the outside. Like, do you remember the I think it was a Huawei phone. They had the screen all the way on the outside, which, was kind of cool because there were certain advantages to it, but then that very fragile plastic screen was always exposed,
Yeah,
which
true.
it's a plastic screen, it gets scratched easier than glass, so. So actually, and actually maybe to go a little bit more into folding, not just phones, but did you see the Surface Neo by any chance?
No, I have not.
So, I'm curious on your thoughts. So, Microsoft, when they were unveiled the Surface Duo, and then I think also Lenovo, and I want to say Dell, if I remember correctly, they had these laptops that were essentially just a folding screen. And you would have like a physical keyboard that you could type on one side of the screen, and you could take that physical keyboard off if you wanted to. It was like essentially just a giant screen that you folded like a normal laptop. But there was no physical keyboard except for that one you could put on top of the screen.
That's interesting.
So like, I'm curious, like, would you buy a product like that as opposed to like a normal laptop that just has a physical keyboard on the bottom, screen on top,
Assuming that there's third-party support and for like other like keyboards, I guess, because like that is something that I'm like, you can't just have proprietary stuff. You have to allow for like innovation from other companies, I guess. But assuming that that is in place and there's a way, because from what I'm looking at, it looks like having the keyboard on changes what kind of a screen you're looking at, right? Like it changes what the top half does. If there was a way so where you could trigger that without the keyboard on there, like there's a certain key input you could put on and it would put the screen to that sort of mode,
Oh, I see what
that
you're
would
saying.
be a very quick buy for me. Like I'm already sold on this kind of idea. Like I think it looks really neat. Assuming that it doesn't cost like an arm and a leg, because
I almost guarantee it'll cost like an arm and a leg
I
when it
know it
first comes out,
will.
though.
I know it will. But at the same time, it looks like a very good product, honestly. And like the only thing that I can say that's not great about it is the fact that if you want to use both screens at the same time, you have two vertical screens.
If you want to use.
So
Oh,
like so you
yeah.
yeah, 'cause you could put it like both you could put it horizontally up, but it's not going to stand like that and you need your own stand and then like
Well,
if the fold bends backwards then it's going to flop over and it's just not going to be great.
but I
But
mean, if
having
it.
two verticals is fine, but it's like you don't get as much screen space and so it's going to be harder to do stuff on there. A lot of like a lot of websites and stuff are just they're designed for non-vertical displays really.
True.
Yeah, like I mean, I don't have a vertical display on me right now. I mean, the one that I use is a vertical, but like I don't change it that often. And like, but when I do do it and I need to look something up while it's vertical, which is very rare, it's just been a pain.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
I mean, so with these computers, I theoretically, what they were showing anyways, you could bend it like slightly and then stand it up horizontally. Like using the bend as essentially a balance. So you kind of create a like a pseudo monitor almost, and then you use that keyboard and just kind of put it in front of you and type on it like a desktop setup almost.
Oh no, that's what I'm thinking of, I think.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's where you kind of fold it like how you put a book on a table.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I don't think that the two screens function together, so I'm not sure that you can put it one screen full screen, if that makes sense.
I see. Okay, I see what you're saying.
And instead you have a left screen and a right screen, and you can drag stuff mm-hmm. over between them, but you can't have something display over both of them. Though okay. Now that I say that, like, yeah. I think you're right, you can put it on both, in which case, yeah, there's not really any flaws that I can see with it. But if it is like how I thought it was initially, mm-hmm. that's a big flaw.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Oh, it's actually almost, it reminds you sort of like, literally of like the Surface Duo, actually, because that's the same sort of concept where you really don't want to span most things across both screens.
Right.
Because you got that the gap down the middle.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point. I didn't really think about that, especially if that was your daily device and you wanted to watch like a Netflix movie, for example.
You'd have a big...
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can use one half of the screen as well.
True. I almost want, and you know, Microsoft seems to be very focused on productivity stuff, so maybe their idea is it's not for, you know, a consumer, but it's more for the person who's working in the office and does a lot of presentations and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it is also very small.
True, yeah, and very, very portable, easy to carry around with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. I actually hadn't thought of it that way, though. I really do want them to come out with it, though. It seems like such a cool concept.
Like, yeah, I'm hoping they come out with it, too, because if it does come out, I might be tempted to buy it, honestly, even if it does cost an arm and a leg.
Just for that extra bit of screen real estate.
Yeah, and it's like really, really, really portable.
Mm.
Like, portability is like pretty massive for this thing.
Yeah, and Microsoft in particular seems like they've been doing really good with that recently.
Well, like, yeah.
Like, the Duo was super thin. Like,
mm-hmm.
like so I, and actually, I if you watch Marques Brownlee's video, he has a really good comparison. If you look at the Surface Duo, and you look at the USB-C port, and then mm-hmm. compare that to, like, the rest of the phone, the USB-C port is literally the thickness of that phone when it's unfolded. Like, that's insane. And, I mean, with the Surface Neo, they seem to be aiming for the same thing. Just super portable and super thin. Almost, like, crazy thin.
Yeah.
But, anyway, we're definitely... Surface Joe's coming out this week. So, we'll definitely be back on top of that when it comes out. I'm really excited. This is probably the first phone in a while I've been really excited for. I think this right here is going to be an awesome phone when it comes out. I hope they do well with it. I really do. Yeah. I want to see a Surface Duo 2. So, but speaking of Microsoft, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Oh yeah, the new popular game.
Yes,
game in quotes because it is a legitimate simulator.
I've seen a few videos of it here and there. I haven't been paying a lot of attention to it. The one thing I did see was people trying to recreate like the wallpapers that Microsoft and Apple have. And they fly around and they take like night shots of it and all that. So I don't know. Did you want to do like a basic breakdown of what Microsoft Flight Simulator is?
Sure. I mean, basically, it is a flight simulator, and it is extremely detailed right now, even though it's kind of in, like, pre-release, apparently. Like, they still have some stuff that's not, like, 100% done yet. It is extremely, extremely, extremely detailed. It can be as detailed or as non-detailed as you'd like it as well. So if you're intimidated by all the buttons in the plane and you don't know what they do and you don't want to deal with them, you can probably just... you know, just have it do all that stuff for you. But if you want to, it is very enthusiast-oriented in that way, too. And I think it's, like, part of the reason why it's super popular right now is because, like, it has real time. Like, it'll change environments, like, night and day based on what time it is in real time. So, like, and everything also is in real time. Like, I said that, like, five times in the last sentence, but, like...
It's true, though.
the amount of time that it takes for me to fly from, I don't know, like LAX to like Tokyo International is the exact same in-game as it is in real life. It would take you 14 hours probably.
It's really cool. Like they were even talking about how they had like the weather patterns, as you said, updating in real time.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I believe there's still a hurricane happening down in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And there were people who got Microsoft Flight Simulator and were flying basically into the storm, and it was replicating the actual winds that were happening in the real world. So
yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, crazy, and it's also like really good graphically. So that's also another reason why a lot of people have been playing it.
You got to get your RTX 3090 for Microsoft Flight Sim.
Yeah, it's really intense. Apparently,
I am so. I actually don't know. Do they support VR with Microsoft Flight Sim?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. I would think that would be so cool. Like, imagine VR and then being in Microsoft Flight Sim, you're being able to like look around in like the plane while you're in it and touch like all the control panels and all that. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, in virtual reality. That sounds so cool to me. I do wonder if they have plans to put VR in the game at some point.
They probably could, honestly. It probably wouldn't be too much of an issue, if I'm being real.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I could see is because of how intense the game already is.
It would just be very hard to render it. But they already do have a first-person mode for being in the cockpit, so...
That's true.
I don't know how much harder it would be to port that to VR.
Yeah,
it would be all the buttons and stuff that would make it really hard.
Well, I think because they even have the buttons, like you can mouse click all the buttons, right?
Yeah, you can. You can turn on everything by yourself, turn off everything by yourself, etc., etc.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with VR development. Maybe they'd have to, instead of just making both controllers like a mouse click, maybe they'd actually... I know they would have actually to put... maybe more thought into how those controls would function with controllers, but it seems like something that could be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole game honestly seems rough, and you can put like, you know, a flight controller together with like the throttles and the sticks and all that.
It accepts all of that enthusiast hardware.
Although my understanding is because Microsoft Flight Simulator came out, all that stuff is like super upped in price.
I don't know if it got upped in price. It's always been expensive.
True.
I just don't know if it's still expensive or if it became even more expensive.
I think it was like they just ran out of like flight controls basically. These people were just buying them out.
Yeah. That actually could be true.
I mean, Microsoft Flight Simulator, it's one of those things that I think we've all known about, but I think this is the first, their last release was like, what, 10 years ago, I think?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Been a while, so this seems really cool. It would be really cool if they could add multiplayer too, but I feel like that would be a lot on top of the real world rendering and all that too.
Yeah, like, I think it would be a little intense on like server side and client side, so... Yeah, don't know about that one.
Yeah, but Microsoft Flight Sim, if you haven't already seen it or you weren't thinking about buying it, I would recommend go watch it. It's so cool. Like, people are doing some really crazy stuff. There's people flying under the San Francisco Bridge. And, another cool thing. Planes in the real world actually appear in Microsoft Flight Sim.
Yeah, I mean, it is a simulator after all. I would assume that they would have the real deal in there, you know?
So you could, theoretically, if you knew somebody who was on a plane, I know COVID times, not many people are on planes, but if you do know somebody on a plane, you can kind of fly by and just wave at them. They won't see you, but you could see them. But those were the good news. The Microsoft Flight Sim is fun. Let's move on to something I think we all knew was going to happen, but, you know, we were hopeful. Oculus as a brand is now dead. And now we have Facebook VR Labs, or VR/AR Labs, I think is the full name. So I don't think either of us really like Facebook, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. I don't like Facebook all that much.
So If you don't know what Oculus is, it's a virtual reality company. They made virtual reality headsets. The Oculus, I believe it was the Oculus Quest, and they had the, I think just the Oculus were sort of their main products. They were really cool headsets, and their controllers were really good from my understanding. I never owned one.
Yeah, it's like, I think the reason why they were super good is because partially because they were a bit more durable than Steam's controllers, because I know those have issues with D-pads. Like, those D-pads apparently will fail on you. Like, it's no matter how good of a care you take it, the more you use it, you're going to break it eventually.
Eesh.
But, like, the Oculus ones, I think, have more of a reputation of being a little bit not as prone to breaking, I think, is why they're better. I think they also are considered a little bit more ergonomic, but in my personal opinion, the Vive controllers are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Oculus is now dead as a brand and has been absorbed into this new Facebook rebranding, essentially. And another thing that Facebook said is basically Oculus accounts are dead, and you have to make a Facebook account in order to keep using your Oculus stuff. So, honestly, I'm not surprised at this at all. In fact, I'm kind of surprised it didn't come earlier. Like, when Facebook bought Oculus back in, how long ago, when did they buy Oculus?
I want to say 2014.
I feel, yeah, 2014 sounds right to me. When they bought them back in 2014, one of the stipulations was essentially Oculus needed to remain a semi-independent company, or subsidiary under Facebook. Like, they sort of manage their own things. You would have an Oculus account. Now we're at this point where Oculus is dead and everything is Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too surprising, but I will say, they're being really enforceful with this. Like, they said if you don't make a Facebook account by the time, I think it's by the end of, like, this month or something, basically you just can't use your Oculus anymore, which sucks.
Yeah, that's bad. I mean, that's not a lot of time either.
No, they're really pushing. They want people to get on Facebook, basically.
It's like, why? I don't understand that push. I mean, more users is always better in terms of social media stuff.
Right.
Or just websites in general. But it's like, this seems like a very scummy way to do that.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I was reading some news. I don't believe Facebook is selling Oculuses in Germany, because I think in particular Germany was the one who's being really enforceful with the Oculus rules. And now that Oculus is dead, I don't think Facebook wants to get into litigation with Germany.
Yeah, so, that is yikes.
Like, Facebook has been known to do some pretty scummy things in order to come out ahead.
Yep, no doubt about that one.
Yeah, and this is one of those things I'm just like, it's a VR headset. It's a little creepy, honestly, in particular with Facebook, because Facebook would love to know what your house looks like.
I mean, I don't think the cameras are like cameras, by the way. I think they're more IR sensors. So,
right.
They'll get a scan of your house.
Right, which, you know, they could sell you plants, I guess. Advertise plants. Yep. But I mean, yeah, I like Oculus as a company. Well, I did like Oculus, I guess, more. Anyways, that's goodbye to Oculus. You know, wave your final goodbyes before it disappears. And coming back to Facebook, though. Facebook is paying users to delete their accounts right before the elections to see basically if that changes the election, is basically what they said. I don't know. I'll throw this at you first. What are your thoughts on this one?
If that was really the reason, I don't know why they're doing it so late. I feel like you should have done this like earlier on in the year, like closer to like January or February. Because that would get you legitimately better results. I honestly think that this might be damage control again for like what happened in 2016.
Right.
They're like, okay, we're paying you to delete your account now because we don't want to be a part of this election anymore. We don't want to be part of the election again. We don't want us spreading news that is like very targeted towards an individual. Like, you know, if you're left-leaning, you'll get left-leaning recommendations. And if you're right-leaning, you'll get right-leaning recommendations. They don't want to be a part of that. They don't want to be like, yeah, we did that. And so maybe we influence people to vote more radically. So, or, you know, that sort of, or made people more radical in their views or whatever. And that changes the election. So yeah. I think this might be damage control. Because otherwise, again, this, we've had ads running for a while now. Mm-hmm. I've gotten the, I got them like, started getting them back in like July or June. So it's been a few months. It's been a few months, yeah. So I don't know why Facebook is all of a sudden now doing that.
It's, so I remember, I think we were actually on the podcast here when we were talking about Facebook starting to put, whether or not like a media was controlled by like a state government, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, I think you're totally right. I think it is damage control at this, but it is very strange though that the way they're going to test this is basically to get to the actual election and then I guess test it, which is a little strange to me. Facebook, like as we said before, I actually consider Twitter more my source of news than I consider Facebook a sort of source of news.
Yeah, and I think that is partially just due to the way that they're set up.
Right.
Because, like, your Twitter feed, you can just have it to be just accounts that you follow and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, news will pop up there because people are constantly posting. I don't know if it's the same for Facebook. If people are constantly posting stuff on Facebook, so it constantly comes up into your feed, and you click on their little, like, icon, you go to what they posted in the past few hours, and then you can read news through there or whatever. But I know for a fact, too, Twitter has trending stuff, and Facebook right. doesn't. And that is one way that a lot of people find out about stuff, is because something starts trending, and you're like, oh, why, what's trending? And then you open it up, and you're like, oh. Facebook doesn't have anything like that. They just have your home feed.
Yeah, they have the news feed, but that seems to... It's weird because on Facebook in particular, they seem to be... moving away from newsfeed, and they seem to be pushing more towards like the messaging stuff. Especially after how long ago was it? Is it 2 years ago that Zuckerberg said they were gonna link all their messaging stuff?
I do not remember him saying that at all.
Yeah, I want to say it was 2018. Mark Zuckerberg said that they're going to be moving away from being a social media platform and more to a messaging platform. Like, and they were going to have end-to-end encryption, all the messaging. Like, sort basically, they're just going to put WhatsApp on Facebook Messenger and Instagram. And then, like...
Yeah.
Which is... It's weird because, as you said, they're moving away from that whole... Like, Twitter has the trending feed and, all the news-type feeds, whereas Facebook seems to be trying to move away from that, which is an interesting move, especially at a time when... they are getting basically ripped apart for fake news in particular. Mm-hmm. So, or misinformation, I should say, actually, has a better word for it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I understand.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's a little strange that that's Facebook's approach is basically instead of, almost in a sense, instead of trying to fix the problem, they almost decided to like just cut it out, right? That seems like how they're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Facebook's got the money though. It's not like they don't. So, I don't really. I want to say we want to keep an eye on this. I don't really know how to keep an eye on this because it. They were trying to keep it low key, from my understanding.
Yeah,
like they didn't want people to just know that they were paying people to delete their Facebook accounts. I mean. If they want to pay me to delete my Facebook account, I'm not going to say no. But anyways, moving on from Facebook things and what Facebook does on a monthly basis, as they do. Elon Musk.
Yeah.
So, I know. So, I'll put a little background context. Actually, unless you... Do you want... How do you feel about our boy, Elon Musk?
I think he's okay. I think he has good ideas. I just Whenever I see him on Twitter, I'm not sure about the stuff he tweets sometimes.
He does make a lot of questionable tweets.
Yeah.
So Elon Musk this past week has unveiled the first working prototypes of Neuralink. So Neuralink is cool. You're putting chips in your brain now, basically. Yeah, so that's kind of what Neuralink is. He basically had three pigs on display. I can't remember the name of the one that was sort of his main display, but he had two pigs that had the Neuralinks in their implanted into their skulls, and he had one where they had it in the pig and they had removed it from the pig to show it could be removed. So I'm curious, what do you think of Neuralink?
I think it. I honestly, you know me, I'm very like, I'm not super pushed forward in some tech innovation stuff, especially when it comes to stuff like that. I'm not sure about it, honestly. I'm not someone who's really into like biohacking or anything. So, and even if I do look into that, or I've seen stuff from that, normally it's nothing really, really extreme. It's like, oh, I put my credit card NFC chip into my hand. Like, that's not super extreme compared to I put a chip in my brain, which is why I'm not sure what to think about this one. I know that he stated one of his end goals was that we didn't need to use human speech anymore or something along those lines. I think I heard that from someone said that they was on like a Joe Rogan podcast or something. And I'm just thinking, like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
See, it's hard because so the way I look at this and the way Elon seems to be positioning this is like, for example, if you're someone who's disabled, like you have no control of your legs, for example, Neuralink theoretically could allow you to have control of your legs again by putting one in your scalp and then one in your spinal region to allow you to have use your legs. That seems to be what at the current moment, anyways, his end goal is. So I kind of, you know, it's tough. I like the idea of it and I think it's cool. I don't know how I feel about the fact, especially the internet itself as a whole is not a super secure place. Like it wasn't built for security. That's the best way to put it. So I do worry about the prospect of somebody being able to essentially pack that technology, and with it being so close to your brain, you know, pretty important part. I do worry about the prospect it could be used for malice, honestly.
Yeah, that is true.
But okay, so I do have another question sort of on that topic though. If you had to choose from, I guess, something biological, like maybe doing genetic changes or, you know, biologically changing a chemical in your body to fix a problem, or would you rather do it through technological means, such as what Elon's sort of going for?
Well, the thing is that both methods aren't complete. They both aren't without their faults. Technology always has a chance to fail. There's no real 100% guarantee on anything working with electronics, in my opinion. I don't think you can get to a point where a machine will work perfectly 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, I'm not sure if I would prefer that method over the chemicals and stuff, right?
Right.
I mean, assuming that stuff, and this is more like having something implanted in your brain rather than a robot doing surgery. A robot doing surgery would be, I think, would probably be a bit safer than some surgeons at times because they're so overworked.
Right.
But at the same time, if the robot just goes back into like a default mode or something, that could be pretty bad. So right. I'm assuming that there would be a lot of safety stuff. Sorry. Yeah. Go on.
That's good. That's actually a good point too. Like, you know, because the robot wouldn't be able to self-correct itself, basically, because it would think it's correct even if it's really not.
But I think too, on the topic of this, I think sometimes it would be permissible. I just don't think that putting something so close to like literally your consciousness is a good idea. I just do not. Because like if it fails, what is it going to bring down with it? Is it going to bring down your entire brain? Is it going to bring down a specific part of it? Is it going to fry your neurons in that area if it just gets shocked? Like what are the potential health risks?
You know? That's true.
And so I think like it going back to your original question, you said like would I prefer doing like something like genetic modification to change like, you know, something, the way that something is produced in my body. I think that would probably be the safer option than having a technological implant to do that for you. That being said, I don't think it would work that way either. It would be a very slow process, if anything. And so, and there'd be no guarantee that they would produce everything correctly, which could end up being slightly worse.
That's actually really interesting. I will say I'm actually of the other opinion where I would be a little bit more comfortable with technological implants than I would be with biological changes. I think more of my reasoning, because at the end of the day, with technological implants, theoretically, if something fails, you could replace it. Or like true. With a biological implant, at least as they are right now, once you do it, it may not be permanent, but it would be very difficult to reverse if something goes wrong, like a side effect or something maybe that wasn't foreseen when it was done. But I do see your point. If something like, especially in particular with like maybe a brain implant, there is a chance if it fails, it could damage more than just itself in that scenario. Yeah.
I think that was my main issue with brain in particular. I think every other thing I would agree with you on. Technological implants would probably be better. Like if you needed something in your leg or something like that to like, I don't know. I think that would be fine. I mean, like, in that case, because I'm just thinking, like, worst case scenario, maybe somehow you, like, correct, like, you break your leg or whatever, and they have to open it up, and, like, by some freak accident, you get water in there.
Oh,
that would be very hard to have happen, but if it did, what would the consequences of that be? Or, more likely than that, would be being near lightning, because lightning has a lot of electricity, right?
Right.
So depending on how close you are to it, what would happen if it got fried by that? Because I know, for example, well, we're not going to be plugged into walls or anything, but I know recently the Bay Area had a lot of lightning attack, or, you know, a lot of lightning.
Right.
And one of my friend's friends had his computer fried.
Really? Somehow.
Well, it wasn't, like, completely fried. It was, like, he was near enough to lightning where... the lightning messed with the internals and it messed something up with the CPU. So he's making a new computer now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, like, if it can fry like your part body. Of a motherboard, what happens to your body? Yeah.
That's true. That's true, actually. And I almost wonder, like, if you were... I guess anything that was in your body would have to be pretty waterproof, but, like...
Right.
If it had, like, you know, a seal fail or something like that, like, what would happen in that case?
Yeah. And I mean, considering that it would be in somewhere that's not your brain, I don't think it would be super, super bad.
Yeah.
Like, at worst, you might need to get an amputation, but that is, like, probably not going to happen with what you would use in, like, for any other case. Because I'm trying to think of what a use case would be. That's not neurological based, or like that's not brain based, right?
Yeah, that I feel like the majority of times when you have some sort of technological implant, at least with current technology, it seems like you want to be connected to the nerve system in some way.
True.
Like if you want to, for example, if you're missing a limb, for example, and you got a prosthetic limb, it would be kind of cool that to be able to move, you know, the limb as you would a normal hand. But that would require it to be linked up to the nerves in your brain.
Yeah.
So, that's tough though. I like. Yeah, Ooh, especially with environmental factors like lightning and things like that, I could definitely see where that would it'd be a little bit harder to implement and not worry about those sorts of things, I guess.
But I think if you did get it to implement it correctly, it would be in the end a bit safer. At least
Yeah.
like in terms of being able to replace it or fix it or whatever.
I mean, either way, I do, kind of going back to the presentation, I do have to give, Elon and everyone who worked on that project a lot of credit, though, because what they managed to accomplish in the past, how long did they say they've been working? I forget how long they've been working on it, but they managed to, actually show that they could see like the different electrons moving in the pig's brain as they like smelled stuff and all that. It would be pretty interesting, like if you had that in your brain to see like as you did stuff, like even just moving your eyes or moving your hands, like the different like signals moving around though. That would be kind of neat.
Yeah, and I think that would be pretty useful in,
Yeah.
helping with things.
That's true actually. Like if you wanted to see if somebody's like nerves were causing issues with movement. It actually, and think about it now, it could actually be a good early warning sign of something like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. Because the nerves would be less active. And you can definitely see signs of it.
Yeah, true.
All right. But with that, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. All right. And we are back. So, our next topic is Nintendo's remastering a bunch of Mario games. So, Mario 64 was one of my favorite games growing up. So I'm happy they're remastering it finally after all these years. Do you have a favorite from the pack that's coming out?
Yeah, it'd probably also be Mario 64 because I didn't really play Galaxy that much, and I didn't play Sunshine at all. So yeah, 64 is probably my favorite out of the bunch. It's a little disappointing to see how they remastered it though. They kept the original aspect ratio, which is nice, but we have the technology and the power to put it in full screen.
I was gonna say that'll I remember I played 60 Nintendo 64. I actually played it on my I think it was my DS Lite when I used to have that. I mean, that game I will say is still pretty fun, but the graphics don't age particularly well. And also as you said, especially because it's being released on the Switch, which is basically Nintendo's bread and butter. I would imagine as they must be able to make it fit the Switch a little better.
Yeah, I would assume they would, but I don't know. Because they open sourced Mario 64. Someone basically decompiled and recoded the entire game. So they were able to get it to run in full and like widescreen. And Nintendo's not able to do that.
And they have the original code too. They don't even have to
Yeah,
recode
exactly. It's like, wow. Because
anything.
they updated the graphics a little bit, but they didn't like remodel anything. They just straight up took a port. Which is a bit of a shame. Because
Yeah.
they put some polish in there, like they took out the line where they were like, "So long, Bowser," or "A," "So long, A
Yeah.
Bowser," and then everyone memed on it. So they took it out and they said it by, and they just put in a bye bye. So it's like they did modify the game a little bit, but I'm like, why? If you're not gonna do a whole overhaul, you might as well just leave it be.
I was gonna
Just
say,
upload the more recent, because they came out with a second version of Mario 64 for
yeah.
the Rumble Pack. Just put that on the Switch. You don't have to modify anything else.
I was gonna say too, because this is Mario's 35th anniversary, and the Switch has been Nintendo's baby for all intents and purposes. I feel like they could have, honestly, if they had said remastered, they did what like Resident Evil did with their games, and they basically just
Yeah.
rebuild it from the ground up and made a whole, because 64 is a classic game. It's classic. Like, if you were born in the early 2000s, or actually, I guess maybe even early 90s, and you played 64, whether it be on the DS or what console was on before the DS?
N64. We're talking about the N64 one.
Oh, I was talking about the Slate one because I didn't know N64.
Mario 64.
It's still iconic regardless.
Yeah, it is still iconic.
So I would think that they would be like, you know, they would try so to
it's like. Yeah. I would assume they would have updated the models because the N64 one, you said the Nintendo DS models looked pretty meh.
They
nowadays.
Were pretty polygon-ish. They were very, you saw those polygons.
Imagine the N64 one now. They didn't remodel anything. They didn't use the ones that they had in the DS one or anything like that. It's the original ones, except they have a higher definition texture.
So really, almost nothing changed, basically.
Yeah, they probably patched out the infamous backwards long jump glitch.
I do remember. Yeah, you could jump.
Well, because they figured out how to patch it later on, but so it's probably not in there.
It's so weird to me, only because like so with those consoles, if there was a bug in the game, they couldn't have fixed it. It was out, and yeah, that was it. It's interesting because with this one, they could easily update any bugs that come. Like, rebuilding this game from the ground up wouldn't be as difficult because they could actually patch it as it was released.
And right.
Constantly send updates. But they just kind of decided, let's keep it, I guess, super nostalgic, which, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, they definitely have put some amount of work into it. So there will be changes.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be the same as the version that I have on in my N64 or anything like that. It's gonna be different.
So
I'm not sure.
I'll ask you this question then: are you going to buy it?
Probably wait a little bit, see how it looks and runs on the Switch, and then maybe because I've never played through Mario 64 all the way. Because I got it because I had some people like. Who were like, oh yeah, you should like try speedrunning it. So I got it because I was like, okay, sure, I'll try speedrunning it. So I've never played through the entire game mode itself.
Gotcha.
I've only played through the speedrun version, which is a lot shorter.
Yeah.
And you really don't even visit a lot of places. You just skip them.
You could, yeah, especially if you're trying to speedrun, you literally skip through entire levels, basically.
Yeah, I should mention, like, for anyone who is, like, a geek and they know what I'm talking about, I'm doing 16 star, I'm not doing 70. So, like, that means I got a glitch, which means I don't visit TikTok Talk, I don't visit the flying stage, I don't visit the one with the magic carpet in it. Like, there's a lot of stages I've never seen before, so that's why I'm considering picking it up still.
It is interesting when you think about it, though. We are officially at that point, though, where there's going to be a lot of people that are much younger than us that will never see Mario 64 outside of this version, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that I would say probably the majority of younger people that are using Nintendo at this point either have a Switch. Actually, I think they really only have Switches. I don't think the Wii U is that popular. And they basically killed the DS as soon as the Switch came out. So, yep. It is strange to think that this is the only version of Mario that they might see. Which...
Yeah, it is kind of strange.
So, we're in that age now. It makes you feel real old, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, though, this would not be a Patrick and Tristan podcast without talking about a little bit of privacy. So, let's basically start with the headline. Apple is going to delay their removal of the ad tracking ID on your devices. So, for the uninitiated, on pretty much any device you use, any mobile device you use, and I think even most PCs at this point, they have what's essentially a string of like 25 characters, that is an identifier so that advertisers can essentially track you and advertise to you. And to be clear, it's not inherently bad because theoretically they would be able to personally identify you. Like they could identify I'm Tristan or Patrick's Patrick with that number, theoretically. Although with the amount of data that Google or Facebook, for example, does collect, they could easily identify you, to be very clear. But... basically, what was going on was in iOS 14, one of the changes Apple was going to make is they were going to kill this number. this string of characters, which would have made it impossible for apps on your phone, such as Facebook or Google, to actually track you and advertise to you. Now, if you're privacy savvy, you may have looked at your phone and found a setting, the setting with that's buried in your settings that basically limits ad tracking using that ID. But this would eliminate it entirely from your device. So Apple's delayed that now. So I guess I'll start with two questions to you, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
First question I'm going to ask you is, what do you think of Apple trying to remove it from iOS 14?
I think it's probably for the better, honestly. Well, there's pros and cons. I think the con is that it's very hard to track down if your device, the device is actually yours or not in case of theft. But I think the pro is that it's going to be a lot harder for apps to actually know if they're correct or not in pinpointing who you are sometimes. I mean, that's not going to stop the big giants or like...
They'll
I think
way.
That they were thinking about like making this like optional, like you can toggle it on or off per app or whatever. But like, you know, they're just going to shut down their app until you put the number in there. Like, oh, we have to use it. And they won't let you use the app until, you know, you're like, okay, you can use the number now. So I think them removing it entirely is the best course here.
So, and actually, and also to be clear, this number is not something that you interact with as a user. This right. is just something that's basically software driven sort of thing.
Yeah.
But so, and then my second question to you, what do you think of the fact that Apple has delayed it because companies like Facebook complained that it was basically going to break advertising on the iPhone in particular?
I mean, I think it's just dumb. Like I just don't understand why that would be an issue, why Apple would listen to, well, like, why you would listen to someone like Facebook like that, unless there's something going on there. I mean, I'm not saying there is, but it is a little weird that they would just say, like, actually, we're going to step back from what we were going to do previously because of what companies have said about advertising. I mean, Facebook's main revenue is advertising, right? So yep. It makes sense why they'd be concerned. But it's not like it would completely break advertising. It just would become a lot less specific.
If Apple did this, it would break advertising on
oh, really?
Apple's devices.
Like completely?
Yeah. That like for example, you know how Facebook can advertise. Let's say, you know, you were looking up dog food and then dog food appears in your
oh,
ads.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It would break that entire
like,
network.
I just meant more like, yeah, that's what I was implying. Like, it would just break it, but they could still do advertising. It just would not be personalized in any way, shape, or form. So, like, those weird wish ads people get, like, sometimes they're personalized. That wouldn't happen. Or, like, when Google personalizes an ad for you based off of your search history,
right?
That wouldn't happen on the iPhone anymore. They would just have to give you normal ads that they think you would like, rather than very targeted, specific ads.
But I do think, particularly with Facebook and Google, I think the majority of their income is from those personalized ads, not so much the general ones.
Yes, that is the thing, though.
So that's why I think they were worried that it's going to hurt them a lot, because it's basically going to break advertising on the iPhone once it's implemented. Mm-hmm. Assuming they don't find another way to track you, I'm sure that they're already working on some way to find a way. But I do think it's interesting that Apple backed off of it. I think from, if you're looking at it from a technology enthusiast or maybe somebody who sort of sees Apple as that beacon of privacy, I think a lot of people are going to be very upset about it.
Yeah.
But I also do see, if you do look at Apple's side of it, it's interesting. The default search engine on Apple devices is Google. And this is because Google actually pays, I don't even know how much it is, they pay like billions of dollars to keep Google search as the default on Apple devices. Like, it is sort of, in a sense, I guess it's business, for lack of a better term. But I will say I'm a little bit disappointed that Apple didn't go through with it, though. like sort of like you, I'm sort of, I almost am like, why? Apple's whole thing is privacy. This seems like a feature that they should be the ones to herald it, right?
Right.
But it seems like maybe the clout of Facebook and Google, it's even too big for Apple to take on, which is a really weird thing to say. So when we look at like Google and Facebook, a lot of the services they give us is, well, I should say it is free, with the context that you are basically paying with something other than money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I almost wonder if in the future there's a chance that, since advertising, as it becomes more and more difficult, particularly on iOS and macOS devices, I do wonder how that's going to change that whole industry, though. If at all, honestly, I'll be honest. Maybe it doesn't change the industry at all, but advertising is becoming less and less profitable. So
that is true, yeah. I don't know if it would change that much if it is becoming as unprofitable as you're making it out to be. Because then it's like you're losing money, but it's not like you're losing that much money then, right?
Well, so like, so I'm curious, Patrick, what's your search engine and your browser?
I normally use Firefox, and then I Google a lot of stuff. I'll use DuckDuckGo as well, but normally when I need to find really niche stuff, DuckDuckGo fails me, so I have to use Google.
So I use Microsoft Edge and I use Bing. To be very clear, they're not better than Chrome or Google Search, but I do sort of respect more the fact that most of Microsoft's profits actually come from enterprise level stuff. And I also do occasionally use Google as well, because Google is simply still the best. But as we sort of move into more of a privacy-centric world, especially around the fact that after the Cambridge scandal with Facebook and all that, like DuckDuckGo's numbers shot up like crazy. Like they went from, I think it was like 5 million consecutive users to like 9 million in like a few months. It's crazy. So I am curious though, at some point though, I can't imagine people are going to be okay with Facebook and Google sort of snooping on everything they do forever though, right?
Right.
And as we sort of get more into that world, especially if Apple does, they said they are planning to release this. They're still planning to release this feature by the beginning of next year. So
yeah, so that's good.
It'll still,
they're not packing down.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be something that's going to be really interesting, especially when it does get implemented into iOS devices. I should just say all of Apple's devices, because it'll essentially eliminate advertising on, well, like, you know, 25% of, or what is it? 15% of all devices on the planet. Which is strange to think about. And I can't imagine. Now, Google, I don't imagine Android following suit because Google. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how Android does move to maybe rival that a little bit.
Because yeah, that is true.
Because they're not going to be stagnant, right? I can't imagine they would.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that's something in particular both of us are going to keep an eye on, because I think that's super interesting. I think the implications for it might be a little bit devastating. Like the reason Google services are free for the most part, like Google Docs and all that, is through advertising. But we'll see.
Yeah.
But anyways, we have hit the end of the podcast. So do you have anything else you wanted to throw in there, Patrick?
Not really, no.
All right. So go ahead, subscribe to the podcast, hit whatever notification thing they do, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I was going to say Snapchat. We don't have a Snapchat, though. And if you want to, and you can listen on any platform of your choice, we're on most of them, so yay. We also have a new YouTube channel under Artificial Video, for you nerds out there. I'm sure you recognize that acronym. But other than that, we will see you guys in 2 weeks. So, yeah. Bye.
Bye.